Blog Talk Radio.
In 2015, police in the United States killed 346 black people, and most of them were unarmed. Black males between the ages of 15 and 34 are 9 times more likely than any other race to be killed by the police. This year, 2016, police in the United States have already killed over 200 black people. Today, it is impossible to pick up your newspaper, watch your local news, without seeing the heading, "Another unarmed black man has been killed by a white police officer." Last week, every day last week, a black man died at the hands of a white officer. Good afternoon and welcome to Injustice Investigations. I'm Al Scott. We thank you for tuning in. Today is the start of our new series, and for the first time, we have taken our show on the road, and we are broadcasting live from my brother Timothy Davis' home in Shreveport, Louisiana. Today, I'm happy to bring on the show a brother who I just recently learned about. He's a very outspoken black man, and a friend of mine named Nasiko in Texas sent me his video. And after I finished watching this video, I immediately contacted him, and he responded. And he has a lot to say about what's going on and why it's going on and what we need to do to bring an end to this. Brother Rizzio Jones, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, I'm on the line.
First of all, listen, let me thank you for accepting the invitation to come on our show today, brother. I really appreciate it.
Brother, it's my pleasure, man. It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Now, listen, before we get started there, I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about you. I know you are the founder of the Brotherhood, am I right?
Yes, there's a brotherhood that I started here. It's called the KOA, the Knights of Atlanta. We're advocates for our folk, for our people. And that's what it is, my man. We move on behalf of our people, however they deem it necessary, deem it fair or whatever. Of course, you know, my name is Rizzio, of course. The Brotherhood has been around for about 2 years now, ever since I awoke. Back in November of 2014. And ever since I woke up, I can tell you, I've drawn brothers of the same like mind to myself, which is a great thing. I guess the universe answers whatever prayer you put out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Okay, so you said about 2 years you woke up. What exactly do you mean by waking up, brother?
Well, let me tell you how it happened. It kind of happened. I woke up twice that day. I remember I had gotten up out of the bed that morning. I woke up out of the bed. I walked over to my bathroom sink, and I turned the water on because I was about to wash my face and brush my teeth, whatever. And I looked at the mirror. I looked up at myself in the mirror. And, brother, I don't know what happened, but immediately everything changed. Right then. And I'm like, what is this feeling? What is this I'm experiencing? You know what I mean? And when I tell you everything was different. And it's an indescribable feeling. I can't describe it, bro. I really cannot. It is indescribable. And ever since then, bro, I have been on this mission of truth and literally justice. So, you know, without having to say too much over blog radio, mm-hmm. or internet radio, whatever. And ever since then, bro, we've been moving ever since then. So.
I don't know if you got it a few minutes ago. Something came across my desk about some deputies in Georgia. Did you receive that?
Yes, I did. I did see it. I did.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
They were terminated, right?
They were. One of them was terminated due to, you know, racial remarks, saying that they literally target our people for traffic stops and stuff like that, literally. And, you know, they made a lot of racist comments and stuff like that on their little Facebook page or whatever, which was
right.
Yeah, which was found out by one of the guy's superiors. So I think one of them was fired. I think the other one still works. He just declined comment or whatever. But the one that was the ringleader, they let him go.
Okay, well, and we've shared that story on Injustice Investigations page. So you can go there and read more about the officers that fired in Georgia for making racist comments. But does that surprise you that some white officers are targeting black people?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all, my brother. Let me share something with you real quick. What a lot of people may know and or may not. right now, our people are experiencing population control. The fact of the matter is we've always outnumbered. And forgive me for whoever's listening, we've always outnumbered crackers, always outnumbered these maggot motherfuckers. Excuse my language. We've always outnumbered them. That's why they were able to kill us and to hang us and just do us, you know, do this for sport, because the population was getting out of control. And because at any given time, you can see a black family with 3 to 4 kids easy. But the average white family has about 1 to 2 children. And we all know that they have a recessive gene. I'm gonna put it in the race right now. I know you talked about cops or whatever, but I'm gonna go ahead and bring this down the race, the issue that nobody seems to want to fucking discuss, but it's something that's always fucking ignored and we're always the racist ones when we bring it up. But okay. Hell, fuck it. I'm gonna bring it up, brother. Y'all forgive my language, but I'm gonna talk real. You asked me to come on. Can I speak real with you,
brother? Be 100% real on this show.
Sounds good. All right. There was, I recently received a post the other day saying about, you know, how they had a nigger hunting license, okay? There was a nigger hunting license they had back in 1930, I think. And hunting season began January 1st and it ended December 31st, but you were only allowed to kill 30 niggers at a time. But you had a tag that you could tag each one of them every time you killed them or whatever. That's why, and they can, because they considered us animals without a soul, as a deer, as a fucking hog. This is what our people are experiencing now. Now, we all know it's hunting season now. It's becoming fall season, and deer season is coming up. And these types of seasons only exist to control the population. This is what they're doing to us, because they die faster than they reproduce. They have a recessive gene. Our gene, we can breed with any race of people, and you can tell that child black. You can tell that woman or that boy is black. You can tell. But their gene, not so much. I'm going to offend a lot of people today, bro, and I ain't trying to, but, hey, this shit here needs to be talked about. So our people right now are experiencing population control. And the cracker that got fired, I think it's in West Virginia, the cop, they got fired for not shooting a armed black man.
Right.
Was
right.
He unarmed? He got fired for not shooting him. He was unarmed, wasn't he, bro?
Unarmed.
He sure the fuck was. Yes,
he
was unarmed. I'm sorry. And it turns out some more crackerish cops walked up behind him and shot him in his fucking head, in the back of his head. You know what I'm saying? This is the kind of shit that really teased me off. But I'm going to hold my composure. I'm going to keep my composure. But this guy was fired for not killing one of us. And brother, this ain't the first white cop that was fired for not shooting one of us. They call it dereliction of duty, not performing your job to department standards. So because he didn't take this brother's life, which was he was trying to get killed, it was a suicide by a cop is what he wanted happening. But the cop wouldn't fall for it. He was like, man, you know, back up, you know, stop. This brother, this guy lost his life. He lost his life, the brother did, and the cop got fired for it. And if that ain't an example of racism, if that's not an example of racism, I don't know what is. So,
you know, a few weeks ago, I spoke with a white couple, and
they did not see any racism with the killing of blacks. Basically, what they were telling me is that if black people would comply with what the officers are telling them to do, then they wouldn't get killed. But
let me stop you real quick. Let me ask you a question right quick. What does compliance have to do with whether or not you live or die or not? Because you refuse to follow a simple command, or so they say, a command, you know, stop resisting or put your hands up or lay on the ground. That's not a fucking death sentence. That's not a death warrant at all. You know what I'm saying? But because it's mandated now that one of us be killed every time we have an interaction with a police officer, it's mandated, brother. This is mandated. And because, let me tell you about this one. This is what floored me. This really hurt my heart yesterday when I found this out. There was a young man in New York City. He got hit in crossfire. You know, stray bullet hit him. He was bleeding out. His friends picked him up to carry him towards the hospital. As they were nearing the hospital, which was a block away, they were swarmed by New York police officers. And they asked him what was going on. They told him that their friend had just gotten shot. He's bleeding out, and the hospital is just a block away, my man. These cops ordered these boys to put him down. Put him down right now. And they were like, no, fuck that. So they continued to carry him. So the six police officers that were with him pulled out their guns on all of these young men and told them to put them down or they're going to get shot next. Do you know the cops didn't call any help? And the hospital, you could look dead at the fucking hospital. So this little man bled out right there in front of the police officers without anybody summoning help whatsoever. So when they went to trial, because, you know, they did, they got to put on a dog and pony show for us, made it seem like they did their due justice, their due diligence as far as, you know, doing their job is concerned. Exactly. There was no wrongdoing. There was no wrongdoing found on any of the officers' part. That's why when they do kill us, when they shoot us, you notice they always put handcuffs on and they always walk off and, you know, get to talking and whatever. Instead of them rendering aid or trying to call for aid to come help or medical help to come help the guys that they've shot and killed or whatever, they rather just let us die. And that's how, you know, if you pay attention, this makes sense. But because so many people don't want to acknowledge the truth, because once the truth is acknowledged, that means there's something that you should be doing next once you've seen that truth. But people don't want to do shit. They just want this shit to go away. And it's not going to until we make it so. Do you understand what I mean?
Right, right. So the brother was like a half a block from the hospital.
He was a block from the hospital. You could look across the street and look up the street and see the hospital. Yes. Yes.
We've been marching and holding signs, you know, for many, many years. No justice, no peace. Now, that may have played its part in the, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s, some of the 70s, but I don't think it's working anymore. I think we need a new approach to the injustice that black people are receiving. But one of my problems is it's not only with white Americans, with some of us, because we're acting like everything is fine. It's just a normal day at the office when every day that you wake up, another black man has been killed by a white police officer. And in just a few days or a few weeks, they call it justifiable homicide. This last weekend, a 18-year-old black boy in California was running from police officers after he jumped out of a stolen car, allegedly. And witnesses said he was running and had his hands up, and he said, I don't have a gun. And so one of the witnesses saw the officer when he pulled out his gun, and she told him, don't shoot that child. And by the time she said child, he had shot him five times in the back. Now, as a police officer, you may can justify one shot, and you may can justify two. But how in the hell can you justify shooting somebody five times and you're shooting them in the back? You call it justifiable homicide. I just call it murder.
Right. Right. That's what it is, bro. That's exactly what
it
is.
And the cops are getting away with it because the Supreme Court backs them up. Prosecutors will not prosecute killer cops, and it's impossible to get a grand jury to indict a police officer that has killed a black person. So it's racism. Black people cannot continue to be walking around in the daytime sleeping and acting like everything is okay. They are executing black men and black women by any means necessary, and they call it justifiable homicide. We are at war, and our black people act like they just don't give a damn. Now, you can march and you can rally all day long, but after 4 or 6 months, after doing a study, black people go back to their normal way of living, and so whatever the outcome is, then the outcome shall be. We get a white woman, a white police officer, to come on TV. Her biggest mistake was to talk to the media after she had executed a black man that she said was coming towards her, had reached into the window of his car to get a weapon, but there was no weapon on him. There was no weapon in the car. What's worse than that, the damn window was rolled up.
Right. This happened
okay,
to Tulsa, if I'm mistaken.
It's police language when they say, I feared for my life. I had to kill him. So where was the fear at? Because she said he wasn't complying with her commands. Well, we looked at the videos from every angle. He was complying with her commands, and she was complying with her commands in the sky that was telling her what to do. And then she killed him.
Right.
And then they come back 2 days later, and they say, well, she had a hearing problem. I don't give a damn about her hearing. Her hearing is not in question right now. We're talking about her trigger finger.
Right, her actions. Right. Right.
Okay, so what do we do? Because it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know if you agree with that, but what do we do?
I agree with you when you say it's going to get worse before it gets better. My brother, I have my own remedy for this. There is a remedy for this. But the one that I'm only at liberty to speak on is the economical side. We have to withdraw from these people's economic thing, period. We have to, in order for this to be, because the only thing they understand is power and money and blood. They understand these things. And
right.
When we remove our money, this place will crash. And it's the truth. It will crash. The money already has lost its value. It never really was valuable because it's not backed by any natural resource. It's just paper. It's just a note. Long story short is this. There are a couple of ways for us to combat this and to make it stop. But it's only going to happen if we collectively move together. That's the only way. It can't be two or three of us over here in New York, and two, three over here in Georgia, three of us over here in California. This thing has to be grabbed race-wide and executed race-wide in order for this to bring about the change that we want to. If you remember, if you walk down history lane with me real quick, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Slocum, Texas, Rosewood, Elaine, Arkansas, these were just four of the over 35 black cities and towns that we had. That we were prominent. We had schools, banks, churches, grocery stores, you name it. We had everything we needed. We only reason why we were so successful then is because we had no choice but to depend on each other. And now that we have options, we've taken our focus off our community, because a lot of us got white friends, a lot of us got Chinese friends, a lot of us got Hispanic friends, a lot of us got all of the friends other than your people. And when you take the focus, when you take the focus off building community and you have these many options, of course you're going to, because, you know, somebody white might be nice to you or whatever. I'm not racist, man. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. I hate white privilege. I hate this white supremacy shit. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. And everyone that upholds it, everyone that acts out in it, I hate them as well. There's nothing wrong with hating. I'm sorry. Love is just as powerful as hate, brother. Hate is just as powerful as love, because both of them can affect change. These people have structured their whole government against us, and the root of all of that is hate. To keep us underfoot, to keep us from realizing and seeing who we really and truly are. Hate has caused them to create damn near every fucking law to protect themselves against us.
Exactly. Many people say, and I disagree. I was speaking with a friend of mine yesterday on the phone. Stephanie, she does Texas, and she was saying that police officers need to be retrained. And I disagreed with that because
no.
What they're doing in the black neighborhood, in the white neighborhood, then they
exactly.
need to be retrained. But
exactly.
what the police officers do in black neighborhoods, they don't go in a white neighborhood and do it. So I know they don't need
no.
to be retrained. We
no.
just have some racist, diabolical police officers on the force.
Right. Exactly.
And so the
KKK is called the Invisible Society, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of them wear suits, a lot of them wear uniforms, a lot of them wear robes, judge robes, a lot of them wear suits, you know, in the Senate, in the Congress, you know, as your sheriff, you know what I'm saying? They are the Invisible Society because they don't broadcast who they are.
Right.
It just shows in their actions.
Exactly.
And,
you know,
unfortunately for our people, we don't have the luxury of trying to judge a man by his intentions or whatever. We can only focus on his actions. That's all we can focus on. And the actions will damn near determine what your motives were in the beginning, period. You and I both agree with that. Am I correct?
Exactly.
It's not what you say. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
If you would like to call in and speak with Brother Riccio or Johnny in on the conversation, the number is going to be 347-326-9818. It's 347-326-9818. Oh, now go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, my apologies, brother. You go ahead and finish what you wanted to ask me.
Here's the thing. You were on one of your videos that someone sent me. You were upset. And you were going off. I could feel your energy. Why were you so angry in that video?
There were a couple of them I did like that, bro. Are you talking about this most recent one?
The most recent one, yes. When you were mad at some of the black people for not doing anything, not standing up.
Okay, we had gone to Charlotte. A few of my brothers had gone. And we had drove to Charlotte that evening, you know, to link up with some of our brothers up there so that we can see what our next move might be. We didn't go out to protest or anything like that. But then I get an inbox on the Facebook Messenger from a sister that lives in South Carolina. And she sent me this. She said, listen, be careful up there. The hate is really real. They murdered my husband in front of me and my son. And I texted, I was like, what are you talking about, sister? She said, they choked him out in front of me and my son. I tried to fight him, but I cannot fight by myself. I was like, well, listen, who is your husband? So she gave me his name and everything. And I said, well, listen, give me your information so that we can, you know, we can discuss this further. Send me your number and everything. And this is what she said, brother. This is what really hurt me, and it angered me at the same time. She said this. She said, I cannot give you my information. If I do, they'll kill me. And I said, who will kill you? She said, listen, I'm sorry I can't talk about it, but I just want you guys to be safe out here because these people, they really hate us. And I'm like, and I hit her back again. I'm like, sister, who's going to kill you, the police? And she sent me a message back and said yes, because they've been monitoring her. And right then it kind of teed me off, because our brothers, our black men, going around here glorifying the stupidest shit, the dumbest things, going mm-hmm. around here saying, you know, just putting, making things that are really superfluous. They're trying to make him important. You know, who gives a shit? Really, I love football, but fuck football. While we're sitting there watching a football game, our people are steady dying. And
exactly.
And I asked her, so I was like, well, who do you have on your team? Who do you have that will protect you? She said, nobody. And I'm like, well, where are all the brothers at? Where are all the black men? You know what I mean? You know how many stories like this, brother, go unreported? You know how many of them they find hanging in these woods out here in Georgia? Last year alone, brother, there were 87 documented cases of lynching here in Georgia. 87 black men found hanging in the woods back here in Georgia. Every last one of them ruled a suicide, even the ones with their hands and feet bound behind their back. Even those were found suicides. Every last one of them. But, brother, there are over 300 that were actually hung. That were actually, and only 87 of them were reported. And our people walking around here talking about and doing what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right, and I'm with you on that because I have a tendency to go off when certain things are happening, and I'm on Facebook, and they're starting dialogues about something close to nothing. And, I mean, who gives a damn about what celebrity is pregnant or who is divorcing who? While you're discussing this, another black person lost their life at the hands of a racist, white, diabolical police officer. And if it's not in your house, affecting you directly, you tend to just act like it don't exist, you know. But if you hadn't experienced injustice yet, if you keep living, I promise you one day it's going to knock on your door, because there is a war that has been raised against black people to take them out by any means necessary. And you have a badge and you have a gun, and that means you have the right to do it, and we're going to stand behind you, and we're going to call it justifiable homicide. Eric Garner was killed on tape. Eric Garner was killed on tape. The coroner ruled his death a homicide. Well, if it was ruled a homicide, the officers that had him on the ground choking him, why haven't they been arrested?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's not going to happen.
A man in the back. Right. And you call it justifiable homicide. You shoot Michael Brown, 8 or 9 times. And the last one, you shoot him in the top of his head as he's going down, and you say it's justifiable homicide.
Right. And all of these people are unarmed. All of our people are unarmed when they shoot us. So
That stands to reason.
That stands to reason. And I'm gonna say it. Whoever's listening, brothers and sisters, arm yourself. Fuck 'em. Arm yourself. They want to take your life because that's what they're here to do.
Here's the thing. I said something the other day on Facebook. A lot of people got upset, but I stand by it. Basically, I said that last year this time, a lot of the gun stores was selling out of guns. They couldn't keep them on the shelf.
Right.
So who were buying these guns and assault rifles were mainly white people. They are preparing for something. And every time a cop executes a black person, they find a house nigger from the police department or the house nigger preacher to come on TV and tell the black people to remain calm until the next execution. And when you have a rally and you're marching, do it peacefully, but we have cops showing up in riot gear.
Right. Right.
And they enticing the protesters. And then that's when it becomes a violent, but mainstream media will not broadcast that.
Right. Of course not. Just like they did in Baltimore. Those police started that riot up there in Baltimore. They started that.
Exactly.
Throwing rocks at the kids. Exactly. Throwing rocks at the teenage kids and stuff. Throwing items at them. And the kids started, in turn, throwing them back. And you know, the kids nowadays, man, they don't really give two shits about too much. You know what I mean? So especially, you know, when you're living in a neighborhood like that, that's lacking, that doesn't have, you know, when the schools are terrible, they're closing down schools all over the place up there. You know what I'm saying? They're busing and shipping the kids to, you know, bad schools. And to be quite honest with you, man, go ahead. I'm sorry. What's that?
No, I was just going to say, it's going to come a day. This was part of the thing I posted on Facebook. When black America wake up, and when black America wake up and start doing to white America what's been done to us, not only will they not like it, they will not be able to deal with it. Now, they thought 2 or 3 months that it was bad when blacks start knocking cops' ass off and they come on TV begging us to stop doing it. Listen, you should have thought about Blue Lives Matter before you start killing black lives.
Yeah, this is true.
It's going to happen. And sooner or later, they're going to go off. Go ahead.
No, no, I'm listening to you, bro. You're definitely right.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, and so we sit down and we put a post on Facebook and say, be calm and just keep praying. Well, while you're calm and while you're praying, somebody else has just been killed.
Right. Right. Speaking of which, if praying stops bullets, then they should have stopped those bullets going into those nine brothers and sisters up there in South Carolina. Where Dylan Roof went in now? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He went in that church and killed all of them. And what he said during his interview, after he had murdered our people, this is what he said during his interview. They asked him why he did it. He said, I almost didn't go through with it because everybody was so nice to me. But I had to fulfill the mission that I was sent there to fulfill. This came out of his mouth. I heard him say it. So you sat through the church now, through the whole service. When the service is over with, I mean, the people embracing you, showing you love, the whole nine, which is great for our people. I'm glad our people are so loving and accepting. But, you know, that was one time where, you know, Jesus didn't help nobody, nor did praying stop them bullets from entering their bodies and taking their lives, period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything against preachers or whatever, but I do have a problem with the message that they're bringing. Yes, of course, you know, operate in love, yes, but to forgive those that hate you, to turn another cheek, to turn the other cheek, while that one was slapped, you turn another cheek and give another cheek to slap, no. Love those that hate you, no. That's not realistic. That's not realistic at all. So, brother, I can go on for days about this kind of thing. I can go on for days about this. I ain't going to talk your ear off or whatever. But go ahead. Ask me now? I'm sorry.
No, that's why you're on the show, because I want the listeners to hear what you have to say. But what I just want to throw in is that fed up, and probably like you, with being black mothers every day, coming on TV crying because their black sons have been killed just for being black and nearby. I have yet to see white mothers come on TV and beg for justice. If black police officers been going in white neighborhoods executing unarmed, innocent white boys like the white cops are doing to our people, it would not have lasted this long.
No, not at all. But because we are still property, we're still considered chattel property, because we're still considered property, there's nothing we really can do about it unless we rise up in force. That's the only way this is going to stop. To be quite frank with you, that's one of the only ways that this is going to stop. Let me tell you why they set us loose from slavery, my brother. Abraham Lincoln wasn't some good-hearted old white boy. No, he wasn't, because it was too many of his people dying. The Gullah Wars is one of the last wars that contributed to us being freed from slavery. You see what I'm saying? So, when it was too many of them dying, that's when they were like, okay, well, you know what? We're going to set y'all free, but when we set you free, you ain't got no liberties, you ain't got no freedoms, you ain't got nothing. And if we catch you, we ain't going to give you no job in damn one of our towns. If we catch you in our town after dark, we're going to beat you, or worse. And since y'all want to be free or whatever, you know what? Since we can't legally operate under the laws of slavery anymore, let's go ahead and start this sharecropping thing. You know what I mean? So, And then they say, you know, if we catch you loitering or standing around one of our cities or towns and not being productive or doing anything, we're going to lock you up. This is what this prison shit came up for. That's what it came up from. So I'm just like, okay, these people have really structured their government, their way of life, their way of being to keeping us underfoot. And only because they know who we are, but we don't seem to. And once we grasp that knowledge, my brother, once we grasp that knowledge of who and what we are, game is over. And we're not, let me tell you something, let me dispel this rumor. Our people are not afraid of white people, just so you know. What our people are afraid of are the laws that protect them, because we all know the laws were not written in our favor. Not at all. That casual killing act that they created. Back in, what was that? I can't remember what city and state that was in. It was up north, one of the Virginians, if I ain't mistaken. It was called the Casual Killing Act. Whenever a slave died, while the owner was correcting him. If you beat a slave to death out of correction and he just happened to die, she or the baby happened to die, then that owner was not was not liable for their death, wasn't blamed for their death. You just said you were correcting them and they just happened to die. Oh, well. And they created a law to protect them from killing us. It's the same shit today, bro. Because we don't know our history, we're repeating it. A lot of the kids nowadays,
right.
I talked to a 19-year-old the other day. He didn't even know who Marcus Garvey was. And he wouldn't have heard of Nat Turner had he not been on the internet. Or Malcolm X. Or they teach him about Martin Luther King, the docile of us. They teach him about the docile people that we have in our race, in our wonderful race. But they don't teach us about the revolutionary ones, the ones that actually put a halt to this here. They say if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. This is what we're doing now.
Okay. Okay, so what can we do? Educate our people to what it looks like that they can't see, but we know there. Get them speak out more on what's going on. Well, for some reason, we can't get them to stop spending money with the white man. We tried to boycott a couple of years ago, and nobody wants to do that. Nobody
right.
wants to stop riding the bus, spending the money. So back in the day, a boycott, that got their mind right, you know?
Right.
So
right.
what do we do?
First of all, a lot of people have to get out of the mindset of being inconvenienced, because to make things convenient for our people in the future, you have to be inconvenienced now. Not riding the bus for a month or so might inconvenience the hell out of you, especially if you got a job and you don't have a car. That might be an inconvenience.
Right.
But if that was done collectively across the board, brother, do you know how much of an impact that would be? Just leaving the system, that alone, period. Not when the holidays come around. Not shopping at these stores. Not buying into this pagan bullshit. This shit that these white folks made up to get richer off of.
Right,
if we didn't participate in such things, man, that would be a huge it'll be a huge difference in this country or in this corporation, should I say.
Exactly. Black people, my brother and I were speaking the other day. Black people don't know how much power they have in this country. They pumped over, was it $1 trillion into the economy,
yes.
I think between 2010 and 15, something like that. I mean, more than any other race. They have power, but they don't know it.
Right.
And
right.
If they can realize what's going on, then it's a wait, stop. Well, why would I spend my money with you and you don't give a damn about me? Why would I spend my money with you and you happen to execute our children?
Right.
But the first time we get a little extra money, we're running, give it to them. If we don't go there, we go to the Iranians. You know, I see black women all the time rushing into those little Iranian stores buying bullshit because nothing in there is real. Everything in there is fake, but you never see a white woman running into a black business trying to deny her true identity. And you're shopping in a store that has a policy that says no refunds, which simply means they know the shit they sell is bullshit, so they don't want it back.
Right.
But every extra dollar you get, you run in there. The Iranians, they have the hotels, the motels, they've got the gas stations, they got the jewelry stores, putting everything in a black neighborhood, saturate the black neighborhood, so you do not have to come out of there to buy anything. It's just like Walmart on every end, just about.
Right.
Now, the one thing that they won't do, they'll put their business in your community, but they will not live in your community.
No, not at all.
And then on top of it, they got
in the stores, they got bulletproof glass all around the place. I'm like, why are you afraid to do business in a place you chose to do business? You know what I mean? So, you would rather put your life at jeopardy every freaking day to make money off us. You rather put your life in jeopardy just to make a dollar. That shows you how much they that shows you their true intent. It shows you when you go into these gas stations, when you see that thick ass that thick ass mm-hmm. glass that they sit behind. Yeah, that's like, okay, you're afraid to be here, but you're here anyway because you want our money. Nah, that's insulting.
You know,
insulting as hell.
Yes, it is. Just the other day, since you said that, I passed by one of those stores, and it was burglar bars, I mean, from the front to the back, and I'm like, that's an insult to me. That tells me that you don't trust me, but you want my
right.
money. And for some of the black
right.
women that work in the store, because I know one girl that works in the store, she is not allowed to touch the cash register. All she's there for is to help the customer find things that they want, because their women can't relate to our people. But God forbid that black woman touch that register.
Right.
And they pay them little to nothing.
Right.
And then sometimes
right.
it's under the table. But it's past time for black people to stop sleeping with their eyes open, to pay attention to what's going on, because don't ever think that you are exempt from trouble, exempt from police brutality, exempt from a white officer coming executing somebody in your family. I don't care who you are, what your celebrity status is, or what your bank account amount is. At the end of the day, when white people go home, all they see you is a nigga. They don't care how much you got. Your money may be green, but you still a nigga to them.
Enough said. Enough said.
Still a nigga to them.
Yes, exactly.
Again, I just think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I just want our people to wake up and start talking about it more, because this is an issue, you know. And it seems like we're being taken for a joke, because one day last week, I think it was Tuesday, we had two killings. Two black people died at the hands of white officers in two different states, and both
right.
were unarmed.
Right.
I mean, so what it says to me is that we're being taken for a joke, and it's open season on the Negro.
It is. People are like, well, they're trying to start a race war. Fool, we're already at war.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us just choose to deny it. We choose not to acknowledge it because it's comfortable. Oh, don't inconvenience
exactly.
black folk. Please don't inconvenience black folk. Oh, man, you talking about a headache for real. You're going to catch hell. Now, let me tell you something about these older activists that we have that are still living. Let me tell
right.
you why they're quiet. Let me tell you why they're quiet.
Exactly.
Because they have to fight our people as well as other people. Because our people will fight you tooth and nail if it comes to you making things inconvenient for them. For real. Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to start all this shit? Why are you trying to start trouble, bro? Just be easy, man. If you just do what you're supposed to do and don't worry about nobody else, but it's impossible to do so, especially when you love. When you love your people, when you love anybody, you want to see the best for them. Man, because shit ain't happened to you yet.
Right.
You choose to, you know, I got a family. I got a kids. I got a job. I got a house. Okay, so the ones that passed on before you, the ones that were taken out of here prematurely, did they not have such things as well? What makes
mm-hmm.
their sacrifice, what makes your sacrifice greater than theirs? You know what I mean? And if our people thought like that and started taking ownership for our own, even the fucked up ones, because we like I said, bro, all I'm going to say is this. We can put a stop to this. We can put a stop to all of this. But all of us have to do this. All of us. All of us. I can go on and on about this, man, but I ain't going to talk your ear off. But we can stop
no, no.
this shit, bro.
No, you're good. We need to hear this, because black people need to wake up to what's going on. But you're right. They don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. Well, we all have to pay bills, but never let somebody have something so much control over you to where you're scared to move to the left or you're scared to move to the right.
Right.
Everybody
our people are afraid of jail. Our people are afraid mm-hmm. of dying because they're afraid that they're going to go to hell.
But you know,
change starts in the mind, big brother. It starts in the mind, and once you change your
exactly.
thinking, as I did, you'll realize that all things are possible, Everything is possible, bro. When you relinquish the constraints of religion, any ideology, any mandation, whatever, mandate or whatever, any doctrine, when you relinquish that shit, when you let that shit go, brother, you'll realize that any and everything is possible. All you got to do is put your mind to it.
That's
the
it.
Sky is not That's just it. The limit, brother. Cosmos is the limit for us. But our people don't see it. Our people don't understand it, man. We are more than what we've become, brother. We are way more than what we've become. We are descendants of true royalty. True royalty.
Exactly.
But our people don't see it.
They don't see it. It looks like we've gone from mass incarceration of the black man to mass execution of the black man. And it's just not black men that they're killing. They're killing our black women, too. And so, but it just don't get a lot of media attention. It's just like they are, you know, we know about Trayvon Martin, but what's worse than the Trayvon Martin case is that other Trayvon Martin that's in the ground but didn't get no media airtime to what happened. And so the cops
There's a story that I'm sure you don't know about, Big Brother. There's a story in Louisiana. It was a 14-year-old little boy. I forget the name of the county or the city or whatever. It started with an L. It's like a 3 or 4 letter word for it. Some city where they found him. He was face down in the water. When they pulled him out, torn open, were cut open, and his organs were missing. All of them, everything.
Yeah.
And they ruled it a suicide, but they ruled it an accidental drowning. Okay. You know, so. You know, this is just one of the stories you don't hear about. You didn't hear about the little 6-year-old girl in Minnesota they found hanging in her bedroom, off of her own bunk bed. Did you hear about that one?
No. Was this lately?
This happened about 2 years ago, 2014, when I actually woke up. This little girl.
I never heard.
I know you didn't, bro. They didn't broadcast this one at all. This little 6-year-old girl, she was with her mom originally. Her mom was a bad drug addict. And, you know, you blame the parents for shit like this. So, anyway, something happened to where the little girl was injured. Defects was called in. They took the little girl from the mom, put her in a foster home with white folk. So the little 6-year-old girl, of course, when you put her with people who don't love her, who don't look like her, she's going to kind of go within herself. She's going to be angry and wondering why she can't be with her folk. This is how kids are. So the little girl, you know, she began to act out, you know, kind of aggressively and violent a little bit because she wanted to go home, and she had expressed this several times. She wanted to go home, but they wouldn't let her. So she would throw little temper tantrums like kids do when they don't get their way. Long story short, they sent her through psychoanalysis and sent her to psychiatrists and child counseling and shit like that. And it was determined that the little girl was suicidal. She's 6 years old, for God's sakes. She was suicidal and homicidal as well. So when they found her hanging in her bedroom, say again?
Go ahead.
So when they found her hanging in her bedroom, she was hung with her own jump rope. A noose was tied. They found her hanging. Now, when the investigators investigated, they ruled it a suicide, of course. But then they contradicted themselves and said this, but the noose that was tied was too intricate for a 6-year-old to comprehend. But it was yet ruled a suicide, my brother. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I just want to tell whoever's listening that this ain't no hate teach, this ain't no hate preaching, nothing like that. If you're black on this line and you're listening now, forward. This is the only way this is going to stop. Don't run. Don't put your fucking hands up. Step forward. Stand. You were born fucking free. We all were. There is no way that we should be born free, but only be given liberties as to what we can do and say. Step forward, my people. And if you're white and you're listening and you're wondering what you can do to help our plight, deal with your people.
That's it.
Deal with your own people. But as far as this goes, as far as this battle, this war goes, we can only accomplish this within our ranks. period. Because when you start mixing in other groups and other races, it becomes a humanity thing then. It becomes a mankind thing, the human race type deal. But this ain't just anybody getting murdered systematically every single fucking day. It's our people.
Right.
So this ain't about humanity. This is about black lives. Because they matter to me. And they should matter to every last one of you as well.
Listen,
this is Recio Jones, the KOA, the Knights of Atlanta, the founder of the KOA of the Knights of Atlanta. This is me. We got branches. We got a branch in KOC. And we got one called the KOC, the Knights of Charlotte. We got the Knights of Baltimore. We got the Knights of St. Louis. I got the Knights of Montgomery, the Knights of Mobile, Alabama, the Knights of Miami. We're spreading. We're spreading.
I didn't hear you say Louisiana.
Brother, you know what? My apologies.
Yes, sir.
I guess our tentacles ain't reached all the way out there yet.
Listen, let me ask you this. I want to go back to the 6-year-old girl because I just got stuck there. And it's like the foolish question, but can a 6-year-old be suicidal and homicidal at the same time? I mean, or different times? I mean, is it possible?
You know what? The world will say anything's possible, but no, not our children. Nah. How does a 6-year-old learn to kill themselves? How do they learn to kill someone else? Unless you know what I mean? Nah, they love to label our people. That way, and once they label you, then their actions towards you is justified. Once they call you a criminal, the last time you were in trouble was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to follow you the rest of your life. Oh, he was a criminal anyway. Look at his record from 20 years ago. So, he was a thug anyway. He was a thug anyway. Right. So, yeah, we killed him. Just one less thug out here. Once they label you, bruh, once these folks love, they love to label us, love to put a label on us, love to.
And that's what mainstream media does a lot of. And the police department, when they have killed an unarmed black person, the first thing they're going to do is go dig up their history and
right.
then come and say, well, he spent some time in prison. Well, I don't give a damn if he stayed in prison for 30 years. That does not have anything to do with why he's dead now and he was unarmed.
Right. How the fuck do you get used to that? I mean, the man, our people have not been armed, brother. But yet you have white folk and even black folk trying to justify as to why this person, this man, this black woman, this black child died. But they were unarmed. That
mm-hmm.
means they posed no physical threat whatsoever. No physical threat whatsoever. And let me tell you something. A lot of these crackers are not afraid of us either. But they will throw that out there because they know, hey, that's what's trendy right now. That's what's popular. I feared for my life.
Well, you know,
I
did a post about 3 days ago on Facebook that basically said that white people, especially white police officers, are not scared of black people. That's bull. That's just police language that they use. If they was truly scared, especially police officers, black people, two things I know they wouldn't do. They wouldn't become a damn cop. And secondly,
right.
if they became a cop, they wouldn't continue to do what they do to black people if they feared black people. But they're getting away with it. So when they kill, they do it without fear of retaliation, repercussion, losing their job, going to prison, and they will be placed on paid administrative leave. No police officer should ever be placed on a paid administrative leave when he or she is in question. And no police department should ever be allowed to investigate their damn selves.
Well, exactly. Internal affairs. Get the fuck out of here. They all buddies. They all drinking buddies. They all party together. Excuse me. They all go to each other's house, have barbecues, the whole 90. The DAs as well, the prosecuting attorneys, the fucking judges, all of that. Secondly, remember them brothers in right there in your state, brother? Them black police officers, they shot and killed the little 6-year-old white boy, little autistic white boy in the back
seat. Exactly.
I think they locked him up the next day, didn't they? charged both of them
immediately.
With murder. Charged the brothers with murder. Yeah.
Got them.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. Look, it didn't take a public outcry to get them arrested. It just took them that long to get the paperwork straight to put handcuffs on them.
Right. You know, Tupac made a quote in one of his songs. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull the trigger, kill a nigga. He's a hero.
Mm.
Now, a lot of these crackers get promoted after they kill one of
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
There's a wonderful sergeant here in the great city of Smyrna, Georgia. Shot an unarmed black man through the passenger window. Put four of them in him, killed him. He was a sergeant. Now he's a lieutenant. So I'm like, okay, all right, all right. So here we go with this. So,
right,
brother, let me tell you something, man. I could really talk about some shit, but I'm not finna incriminate myself, for real. But our people need to recognize. Matter of fact, they recognize, but they choose to ignore it. I ain't never seen this many people be so voluntarily ignorant ever in my fucking existence on this earth. I've never seen so many people willing to be voluntarily ignorant, willingly not wanting to see what is really going on. I've never seen this.
We had a brother down here, and I think it was in Louisiana. I think it was. Anyway, he's a black brother, and he's going to jail for something. I'm about to pull it up, and we'll post it on the Justice Investigation after the show. But he was handcuffed, and hear me good. He was handcuffed,
right.
Hands behind his back, put in the patrol
right.
car. The officer
yep.
was on his way to headquarters to take him to jail. Well, some kind of way, this brother became Houdini and had a gun on, and he pulled
right,
the
right.
gun out and shot himself in his head.
Right, right, of course, in the back of a patrol car. Right.
In the back of a truck, his hands handcuffed behind his back. So what really pisses me off is that you tell me things like that, like you think I'm super stupid. At least have enough sense to make the damn lie sound believable.
Right. Right. Feeding you goose meat and telling you it's chicken. Feeding you buzzard and telling you this is chicken. This ain't buzzard I'm feeding you. Insulting us. And our people, some of us believe it. Oh man, that's fucked up. Oh man, how the hell didn't the cop check him? Oh man, how was he able to get a loose out of the handcuffs and shoot himself in the back of a patrol car? Get out of here. The hell out of here.
And so we take them at their word and we say, okay, that's a police officer word to me. Don't mean jack. They will go in a courtroom, raise their right hand, put the other hand on the Bible and tell a lie. They falsify evidence and they all stick together.
Right. Chicago's known for that. Dothan, Alabama is also known for that as well. Planting evidence, planting guns on victims, planting drugs on black men to get them sentencing and whatever. This happens all
exactly.
across the board. And let me tell you something else. Let me tell you about this black on black crime that our people like to throw up for whatever reason. And I know we ain't got much time.
Yep.
But
yeah,
I'm going to tell you about this black. All right. This black on black crime shit. White folks pay police departments. They buy black masks. If a white person put a black mask on, you can buy them offline. Go look it up if you don't believe me. You can put it on and you can swear that's a black man standing in front of you. And so they go into
that's
these
it.
Neighborhoods
okay.
to go shooting
right.
and killing, just so you know.
That's it. Listen, Brother Richard, we're out of time. I greatly thank you for coming on the show, brother, and have a great evening. We're out of time. I apologize. We'll have you back on.
No problem. Take care, my brother.
Thank you.
All right.